Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, author of Money is Love, Barbara Wilder.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Prem. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you. I am Filippo Voltaggio, even though I don't sound like myself right now. For the past 4 hours, or 4 days, rather, I have not even been able to utter a sound. And 5 days... A day before that, I was kind of whispering as I was about to completely not have a voice. And it was a combination of a perfect storm of a lot of different things that led to this. And I also know that there are emotional reasons why things like this happen. So I'm looking at all of that. I've learned some funny things in the process. One, for example, is that most of the people I know aren't good at charades. They can't figure out what I'm trying to say if I'm using my hands. And that when I'm at an airport or at a store or whatever, how do you get people's attention? It's funny. I never had to think of this because I always could say "excuse me," and very loudly if necessary. But is it appropriate to touch people? Do I walk in front of them and like wave my hands frantically when I'm looking for something? And then it's interesting how people then react to you. Normally, if you ask them a question, they'll answer. If you write it down, which is what I've been doing at stores, they don't answer me. They'll walk me to where the Medicaid, the stuff that I needed was, and look at me like, and mime, "Is this what you want?" I'm thinking, wait a minute, you can talk. I can hear. But people get confused, and then people have been treating me like I'm, you know, like I've got serious problems other than the fact that I just can't communicate with my voice. And it's interesting that I have been thinking about first of all, how important my voice is to me, not just my career and my life and livelihood, but how important it is to me. And also, when I have a voice, and I was saving what little I thought I might have today for the show, and here we are, but I was thinking, when I have my voice complete and whole again, I want to use it only for things that are necessary to say. I really have had like 5 days to think about, what do I really want to say right now? And in all the things I could say, I thought I would say this if I could. And that's what I would text to somebody, or I would write it down, or I would try and pantomime. I just got to the core of what I really wanted to say. And then I extrapolated into, if saying is important, what about thinking? What do I really want to think? And this correlates so well to our guest and what she teaches and her book, Money is Love, because I read her book, and in her book, she talks about, what do we think of money? What do we think of ourselves? And how most of the time, like people that just blah, 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 just because they have a voice, people think they could just think just because they have a brain. But if we use our voice properly, or if we use our brain properly, maybe we could get more things done, or more of the things we really want to get done. And so I think this is a perfect lead-in to where we're headed to thinking about money. We're going to be talking about Money is Love with our guest, Barbara Wilder, and a little later on, music by Prem, all here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio with our co-host, Mark Lejeune. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Filippo.
It's not funny.
Not funny?
And people whisper back, you know, as I'm talking.
Well, for starters, I was going to say, no, you don't blame everyone for being bad at charades.
Maybe I'm bad.
Clearly, you have to get better at articulating with your hands.
Thank you. Maybe you're right. It's everybody's fault, but mine. So we can, everybody's wrong.
We can start there. Okay.
Yeah, maybe I am awful at charades. That's funny. Yes. Okay.
But it is interesting how people, you know, get in a lane and stick with it. They're so used to their tools, whatever that tool is.
Yeah.
You know, you now obviously have to resort to communicating with emojis since the hands don't work and the voice.
Well, I was thinking, what if I knew sign language? But who else knows it? I mean, I might be able to communicate with
deaf. Well, then you would say everybody's horrible at sign language. So.
Right. Wow. Very funny. So it's interesting. And, you know, we're used to, like, we can just talk, say whatever we want. But when you don't have it to say, then you have to think about what you're going to say.
Well, but have no fear, because you're with a good company. You know, there's Wolfman Jack had a long career, and Kim Carnes and Michael Bolden. There's a lot of singers, and you're golden. Just keep hanging in there. Be you.
Thank you. Such encouragement. That's awesome. Well, our guest is the author of Money is Love. She's, along with being an author, a speaker, a spiritual healer, and a coach, and she's with us here tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, Barbara Wilder.
Well, it's wonderful to be here.
Oh, thank you for speaking in such a loud voice.
I just want to start with saying that a few years back, about 15 years ago, I stopped speaking on purpose for 5 weeks.
Wow.
I didn't say a word for 5 weeks.
Wow.
It was a fascinating experience.
You must experiment. Have been great on radio.
I was fabulous on radio.
And?
I learned so much. And I was married at the time, and my husband was, you know, he would get really mad at me in the beginning and fight. And I would write notes that said, you know, screw you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Every note?
No, every note. It was in the middle of the biggest fight we had.
She just kept the screw you one so she could just keep using
right.
it so she didn't have to write it over and over again.
But what happened was it changed, it really changed our relationship, the dynamics of our relationship. It came into more balance.
Really?
And at first he was really angry about it. And then by the end he was going, oh, I like it when you don't talk.
I was going to ask, how did he adjust the week that you started talking again?
Right. It was
a readjustment.
But it was a whole new way. It was a new way. Because he'd just allow, I'm a talker, you know, and he wasn't so much of a talker. And that was out of balance.
Oh, wow.
And so then we...
Did you keep using the signs after you started talking again?
No.
No.
She posted
lovingly used my voice.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. You did it because you were the talker.
Yeah.
And you got in balance.
Right.
Because he was used to hearing you talk.
Right. And he kind of... He gave up some of his power.
Wow.
You know? And he took it back.
Are you still married to him?
No. But we were married a long time.
Okay.
We were married a very long time.
I could hear, is he married now? I could just hear him talking to his wife. We did this thing once, and it worked really well for 5 weeks.
Right.
Let's try it. You know, so I like that you're sharing this because you probably had to think about what you were going to say.
Yeah.
And we don't always do that when we can just talk.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
So with our minds, we think things all the time, and we think it's okay, but it's really not, right?
Well, our minds have this chatter that goes on all the time, right? But if we, when we practice meditation, we get to the place where more of the time we're not having so much chatter. It doesn't happen right away. People that have, that are just starting out meditating, they get mad at themselves because there was a chatter in my head, or, you know. And well, no, that's normal. There's always going to be chatter in our heads. We just get to a place where we let the space between the chatter, the space between words expand so that there's more space between thoughts. And in those spaces between thoughts, our higher selves can come through and our truth can come out. And then that can come out of our mouths instead of, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Chaturanga in yoga?
Chaturanga?
No?
No, that's a yoga term, okay. I think. Or a pose, or
so, okay.
Oh, I thought it was a choo choo. Oh, no, it's Chattanooga.
Chattanooga. No, that's a different yoga pose. That's the train pose.
Very linear.
Ba-dum-bum. Oh, I guess I don't have to talk today. This is good. Just go. All right. I'll write things down.
Yeah, write me notes and just hold them up.
So it's interesting that we're going to be talking about money is love, and you're talking about meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Draw the correlation for me. I know I asked you,
right.
But how do we get there from there?
How do we? When I first had this, you know,
crazy idea,
which came to, actually was given to me, right? I had been. When the phrase money is love came to my life, I had been always had been a meditator and an energy worker for a long time, for like 20 years, and I'd always known that there was a new light energy that was coming into the planet that was about bringing abundance and goodwill for all into consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so since 1975, I'd been working on that. But I didn't exactly know how that all happened, but I worked within meditation. That was part of what I worked with in meditation. And at that time, I was an accountant in the movie industry.
Oh.
Started out as an actor. The story of how I became an accountant is just crazy. So, because I never took any classes. So, but it's because of my purpose, right? I was supposed to be working with money, so they just gave me a job playing with millions of dollars. But so metaphysics and spirituality and meditation and money were like part of my life for 20 years. They were, you know, and they were sort of in the process of coming together.
Oh, so they were separate.
Meditation, right.
Metaphysics,
right.
And money.
Right.
And you brought them together.
Yes. This little phrase brought them together.
Money is love.
Right. And what had happened prior to that was the first thing that had happened was that my mother had died. And on her deathbed, she called the doctor to her side and said, "This is my bad child, and this is my son." And then she pointed to my brother and said, "And he's my good child."
Wow.
Yeah, and it was rather...
Wow.
Traumatic,
dramatic,
as you can imagine. And then she died within 24 hours.
Wow.
And I, you know, like kept saying, Mommy, let's work with the light, you know, because I work with light energy and like healing and everything. And I'd worked with her like with it for a long time.
Well, that was nice of you to send Mommy to the light.
Right. So I'm trying to bring her to the light.
If you had a way of sending her elsewhere, you still chose the light.
I did. I mean, but then she said to me, she said, I hate that goddamn light. I'm going, this is just before my mother died. So then she died and she cut me out of the will.
Well.
And so that was a really interesting thing around money and love,
wow.
right? Or like no love. And so my life kind of started to kind of spiral down after that for a while. And we moved to Boulder, Colorado, my husband and I, and because I got a message.
I hate to leave everybody with your life spiraling down, but I have a feeling we're going to pick it up when we get back after this. We're talking about Money is Love. Our guest is Barbara Wilder. Remember, we're in Boulder, Colorado. When we get back, we're going to pick up from there. And a little later on, live music by Prem here in the studio at Life Changes right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger. Hey, my voice is better. And our guest, Barbara Wilder, is here with us. And when we last left our guest, she had spiraled down all the way to Boulder, Colorado. And then... Well, Boulder, Colorado is actually a nice place.
It was a wonderful place. And, okay. and I got hired guidance to go there.
Okay.
And then I got there. and things got really bad. And we went bankrupt.
Oh.
And even though I had this plan and had thought that everything was coming together beautifully. And it was coming together beautifully.
Hmm.
Because that was the plan. Hmm. That was a higher plan. Hmm. And as we started to come out of that and get
on at this point, money is not love. It's a pain in the...
It's what?
It's a pain. It's
why they call it the golden spiral.
A pain in the ass, can
right,
I say it?
Right.
The golden spiral. So you're not thinking money is love.
Thinking money is love at all, okay. You know, at all. You know, right. I'm thinking I'm bankrupt. You know, my mother, you know, yeah. All this. And my brother didn't share, you know. So,
wow.
And still hasn't. And so we're in Boulder, Colorado, and we're trying to get back on our feet. And we got invited to a dinner, like a birthday party for this man who was his 80th birthday party, who was in Boulder from England, and he was known as the grandfather of crop circles. And I love crop circles. And so they said, you want to go to this party, his birthday party? I said, sure. And so when we got there, we were a little late, and he was already giving a little talk, you know, and it was just in a living room, you know, it was just neat. And we walked in, and I stood in the back, and he's talking about crop circles, and I'm thinking, that's so cool. And all of a sudden, he stops talking. He looks straight at me, and he says, I just have to tell you that money is love.
Wow.
And then he went right back to talking.
Wow.
About crop circles, right where he left off.
Right.
And I'm standing there, and it's like it just shot right into my heart.
Sure.
And I went, that's right. That's absolutely right. And my heart just started to open up, and I felt warm and good and wonderful. And then my brain went, oh, that's ridiculous, Barbara. Your mother just cut you out of the will, you know. You're bankrupt. You've gone bankrupt. And I went, no, this is truth.
Wow.
I know this is truth. And so I went up to him afterwards. By the way, his name was Stanley Messenger.
Oh, wow.
Of course it was.
By the way, my voice might be funny right now, but your brain's voice is really funny. Just thought I'd let you know.
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did your brain write this book? Where did you get, did you channel?
Yeah, so I went up to him and I asked him afterwards, and he said, he didn't know anything else. I said, what are you, tell me about money is love. He said, I don't know anything else. He said, I know these people in Scotland who were talking about it just before I left Scotland, and last night I had a dream. I was just going to sleep, and he said there was this pink ball of light right in front of me, and I heard the words money is love. And he said, and when you walked in, there was a pink ball of light right in front of you.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so what are we supposed to do with that? Because, okay, so say, first of all, money is love. What does that mean to us?
Right. Well, what I found after doing I read every book I could find about money and the history of money and everything, because my father always said you had to study history to figure out the future. Because I knew it was something... I knew it was something really important that we all had to know, and that I knew in the back. It was like I knew it in my cellular memory. I knew this was truth. So what I did as I researched and I went back into history, and then I finally had to go into prehistory when money was connected to the divine Mother Earth, when money was what we exchanged between us, when we were tribal people. Even before we were tribal people with chieftains, when we were tribal people that just worked with, you know, elders and knew that we were part of the earth, and everything was sacred. Everything we did was sacred. Everything we went hunting, we did ceremony to the Divine Mother and to the spirit of the animal, and, you know, and when we shared food with each other, you know, we did that in a sacred way. When we met another tribe and we shared and we traded, we began trading at the beginning of creating a marketplace, we were sharing in the spirit of being part of the divine Mother Earth. So that there was always ceremony, and we grace that we say in grace is still a remnant of that ancient practice.
Oh, wow.
So what I realized was everything, we have to reconnect money to the sacred, because money belongs in the realm of the sacred. When money is in the realm of the sacred, there is enough for everyone.
So we've heard money is evil, money is the root of all evil, and you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So
Well, first of all, that is a misquote, always. The actual quote is, the lust after money is the root of all evil.
Okay.
Which is a very different...
So it's not the money.
It's not the money that's
after.
Evil.
Okay.
It's the lust. It's trying to get more and have more and be more and kill to get your own. and get money.
It could be a misquote, but most people think of it as yes.
Right. So that's in our head.
Become the quote.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's embedded now, right?
Right.
And that's what you talk about, because you say it's in our DNA now to think of money as
dirty, filthy lucre. It's
right.
You know.
And yet there are a couple people in the world who think it's all so great.
Right.
It's out of balance.
It's way out of balance. I mean, when we know that there's 62 individual people own as much of the world's wealth as the poorest half of the world. That means 62 people to 3.5 billion people. That is insane.
Well, slightly out of balance.
Yeah. So how is money, how is that love? How is money love?
Because what I mean by money is love is that we need, because the rest of the title is
reconnecting to the sacred origins of money.
Right. So money is love is what we are striving to reconnect with.
Okay. So some people say let's get rid of money, but you're saying
we've got the money. We just transform.
Recalibrate
is good.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
Huh?
We transform the energy that infuses money with love, as opposed to fear and greed and lack and poverty and power over others.
Wow.
So what I do in my workshops is we actually do light energy meditations and bring the light through us and then out through our hands, and then we put the money in our hands and then do like Reiki or like light healing on the actual money, because money itself, and so I really promote the use of cash, because now money's, you know,
right. I mean,
virtual.
Can you do a debit card or
cards are love.
They allow it.
They're love.
They're love.
They are love. Debit cards are just love.
Yeah, if you love somebody, you give them a debit card. Right.
But it's about shifting. It's about the greater love. It's about the love that moves, powers the universe, is what. And we're infusing money, which means we're infusing every time we have a financial transaction. If we infuse it with the feelings and the expression and the energy of love and light and then share it, that energy goes out and begins to infuse the world.
Yeah, in the book you talk about that moment when one is paying bills,
mm-hmm.
and how we normally have negative energy around that ceremony,
yes.
right? And you suggest what?
I talk about this healing of the money. I call it laundering money in the spiritual way.
Oh, cleaning
right.
it. Nice.
Right,
yes.
right. So we cleanse the money. I love to put, I have this beautiful this crystal bowl that was my mother's. It's a gorgeous. It was my mother's.
You got that.
I got that. It's the only thing. It's really gorgeous. And I put my when I'm going to pay my bills, put my money in it, my checkbooks, I open my computer screen to my bank account and the bills, and then I sit and do a little ceremony, and I chant money is love. I bring light in. And to shift all the energy so that it's not just about blessing the money or saying I'm grateful. It's about literally shifting the consciousness with which I pay money out into the world.
So as opposed to saying, I hate paying this electric bill, mm-hmm. I hate paying the landlord,
mm-hmm. right.
I hate paying this phone bill, you're suggesting we have an energy around it that says...
I am grateful that I have electricity.
Okay.
I'm grateful that I have electricity. I'm going to send you love. I'm not going to send you rage that I, you know, and hate because you make me pay for my electricity.
You know, it was so profound when I heard this from you the first time, because we're in a system that is suppressive because we're ultimately working for the very sources of the money. But when you go before that into the barter and the exchange, where money became a tool for that exchange, what was that exchange? That exchange was survival or aid or things of that nature, as opposed to what it has become in a consumer world, where people are programmed. So this whole thing, energetically, and you know some of my backstory, right, having been up and down, and I made and lost a lot of love. but knowing that and the way you phrase it, I thought was so powerful, because that disconnect and the way it's been redefined in today's age, you're bringing it back to the very essence of human exchange, which is love.
That's exactly right. And when we love each other, I've never met Filippo before, but I just, you know, I love him.
It's his voice, isn't it?
It's because it's a gentle voice.
It's the very soft and gentle voice. But I mean, when I first started doing this, you know, we wrote a lot of checks. Back in when I first wrote this book, we used to write checks. Remember when we used to write checks?
Yes.
And I would have everybody write "Money is love" on the memo line of their checks. Mm. And what happened was that conversations happened at the checkout when I would write "Money is love" on a check, and this would happen with all my students too. Everybody would report about this. There would be all this conversation that the person would say, "What does that mean? What does money is love mean?" And I said, "You know, it's sort of like a prayer to transform this transaction into a transaction of love." And then people in the line would say, "What? What is that? Are you kidding? Or money is not love. Money is that." And money.
Well, that sounds like your brain.
I was going to say that's my brain talking.
And so at the very least, it starts a conversation. Well, we are having a conversation about money
is
love.
Exactly.
See, so it is working. Actually, if you're interested in the book, you can go to BarbaraWilder.com, and that's Barbara Wilder, WILDER.com. You could also find her on Facebook or on Twitter, and we have those links at LifeChangesNetwork.com. When we come back, we'll be speaking with a little more with Barbara, and I want to know about the three G's, greed, guilt, and here's a surprise, gut. I don't understand, but I think, I do actually, because I remember reading that part. But she's going to explain it for all of us. And then we're going to have live music by Prem here at Studio NoHo, all on The Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leger and our guest, Barbara Wilder. Her book that we are discussing, actually she's written more than one, but today it's about Money is Love, Reconnecting to the Sacred Origins of Money. It's available at her website, BarbaraWilder.com, and also on Amazon. And we were at, so the three G's, I liked that.
Yes.
I didn't understand the gut thing, and it hasn't stuck. So please explain.
So what
greed, guilt, and gut.
Right. What I'm talking about here is how much money do we really need?
Are you asking me? Because right now I need about...
but we don't really think about how much we really need. We think about how much huge amounts of money we have to make us feel safe, you know, as opposed to what is our soul need for us to have right now? How much money do we have to have right now? Because in the chapter about money is energy and energy must flow, and hoarding blocks the flow of money, hoarding isn't the thing. We want to, money will always come to us to support us exactly how our soul wants us, what it wants us to learn. It's one of our great teachers. So if we relax and just get into that space between the thoughts and move into, and I teach about journaling and meditating and getting with your money and getting with the love, then how much money do you need right today? Especially at this, when you're in a really tight situation, for instance, and you really, the flow is not working, you know, and you're really, and you need something, and you can't, you stop and you go, what do I need in this moment, in this very moment? Mm-hmm. And then you do the test. And that's the three G's. And when you come up with a number, you ask yourself, okay, is that from greed? Is that too much? Is that really, really more than I need? And I'm just being greedy, and which is based on fear of it running out.
Right.
Or is it based on guilt? Oh, I don't need much. I really shouldn't have that much. Oh, you know, I'm not worth that much.
So you're picking a lower number.
Right, right.
Because of guilt.
Yes, right. Or is it what your gut's telling you need?
I get it now.
It's what your intuition.
Right.
What's the truth of the matter? So you do that little test, and then you'll find out, oh, okay, all I need, I have. Mostly you'll find out I have exactly what I need right this moment.
This works for relationships.
Yeah.
I have a client who's, what she needs is a relationship right now. That's what she thinks. And I think that's the last thing she needs. I wonder if I tell her, ask, is it guilt? There's got maybe other words.
Right.
But this applies throughout her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. we'll pause while you drink.
Thank you.
Water.
Damn.
Right. So it actually made in life, if we use that, great. But you're saying it applies to money.
Right.
And we could change our money
consciousness.
Consciousness.
And when we relax and know that it really, really always comes. It really is there. Money is energy. It's infinite. It's only this false belief system that we created several thousand years ago that there's not enough that makes money seem scarce. But it's not. Whenever the government wants more money, when they want to have a $4 trillion war, that's how much we spent on the war since 2001, right, or 2003, they just print more money.
That's a different book. Money is printing.
Yes.
Money is printing.
But so, you see, it's because it's going into this dominator society, this duality society, that the culture that we've lived in for 5,000 years, where some people have to have the most and tell other people that they can't have enough.
Right.
And it's a change in consciousness of you know, individual people that will change this all. It's not a political movement. It can't be. It's a shift in reconnecting to the sacred through love and bringing connecting into the pool of love, which is energy, and that there's enough of for all of us.
This is interesting, certainly, to think about money in a completely different way than most of us have ever thought about it. And you do these talks and workshops. You have a couple coming up. So quickly tell us about that.
Okay. I'm speaking at The Onion. I don't know. It's a wonderful, wonderful venue in North Hills. It looks like an onion. It's a beautiful building.
Wow. Okay.
On the full moon, for a full moon ceremony, and I'm going to be talking about celebrating sacred abundance. And that's on the 16th, on the full moon on the 16th, Friday. And it's all on my website. And also then on the 30th, which is 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be at the Mystic Journey Bookstore in Venice, giving
Venice, California.
Venice, yes. another darn. Venice, California.
No, it's what you need right now.
It's exactly right. That's right. And it's
the
perfect.
Venice, Italy would be temporarily greedy on your part.
That's right. I would be in my greed. That's exactly. You're
and
such
I'd
a
be
good
right
student.
There with you.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so I'll be at the Mystic Journey for a 2-hour free workshop on at 7 o'clock on Friday the 30th.
And that's transforming and embodying money as love.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And all of that is obviously on your website, mm-hmm. along with future events mm-hmm. and workshops, et cetera. And of course, your book, and you also do one-on-ones. So you're quite a busy lady.
I am. And I'm writing a new book called Creating a Sacred Marketplace.
Well, very good. Well, we might have to talk about that another time.
Yes.
And you also wrote one, Embracing Your Power Woman. So yes. You go.
Okay.
No, you stay for now. I mean, like, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, it truly has.
See, you don't have to wait for my voice to be different to get to know me.
That's right. And your voice is getting better all the time.
All the time. And with that, thank you, Barbara. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
Barbara Wilder. And when we come back here live on the Life Changes Show, Studio NoHo, we will have Prem as our musical guest right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. This is the Life Changes Show. I'm Filippo Volta, just sitting here with Mark Leger and our guest, Barbara Wilder. We are joined in the studio by our musical guest. He is a French-American gourmet chef. Now, I did say musical guest. We're getting to that part. He's a holistic health practitioner. And again, I did say musical guest. He's a singer-songwriter, and he's with us here tonight. Welcome, Prem.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. People actually said, wait a minute, you have a chef. Why are people so surprised that we could do more than one thing?
I don't know, but I think I've just been on this wheel of birth and rebirth for a lot longer than I should be, maybe, acquiring skills.
Well, you have used them well. Evidently, you are a vegan and a raw and a vegetarian, or these are your specialties, raw, yeah. Organic, gluten-free, gourmet.
Yeah.
So
health.
Health.
Big focus. Yeah.
Well, usually people don't associate, like, the chef with health. It's usually the fatty stuff or the unhealthy stuff, right?
That's true, and that's kind of one of the missions I have is to show people that you can eat healthy, delicious food and have an awesome experience eating it too. Like, you don't have to suffer when you're being healthy. It's not necessary.
That's ironic when the rest of it's called comfort food,
right? Oh, interesting.
The deep fat fried foods, uh-huh. And that they call comfort, yeah, food. It's the other way around.
Yeah. Prem, we haven't had a chance to really get to know each other, but are you talking softly because I'm talking like this, or is that how you talk?
It usually is the way I talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It really is, ever since I was a kid.
Really?
I can emphasize, though. It's.
Oh, you
I
can.
Think at first, I get shy, and then I get kind of.
Are you shy?
Funny and charismatic,
calm now.
But it takes a while to warm up.
You get funny too, huh?
Uh-huh.
Funny how?
Like funny, ha ha.
And so, was music? Well, actually. I have to ask you, have you written a song about cooking and how it could be healthy?
No. People have asked me to come up with songs about the food that I'm making as an idea.
Oh, that's just for
but
fun.
It's more gimmicky. I really want to focus more on healing, you know, songs to help the emotions, the heart, the mind, the psychology, and the spirit kind of relax into a more connected and relaxed place.
Okay, and so what I was going to ask earlier is has the music always been a part of you?
Huge. I remember when I came here when I was 7 years old, the first
from
thing...
From France.
From France, yeah, yeah, from Paris. First thing I saw was at a 4th of July concert, somebody playing the electric guitar and just shredding, and I was just the 7-year-old kid looking up at this guy right in front of me, and I was just like, that's what I want to do. I want to be a musician, and I never left, ever.
Well, I'm sure whoever was singing wasn't singing about spiritual songs or healing.
Probably not.
So how did you gravitate towards that?
That's a good question. I've been more of a philosopher as a child. I always asked a lot of deep questions, much to the dismay of my friends and teachers and
who were interested in other things.
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, but I knew that there were answers to my questions, despite the typical answer that I received very often, which was, nobody really knows for sure. And I thought to myself, there's no way, like, somebody knows. And so I read, you know, a couple hundred books before I finally found the autobiography of a yogi, and then it all tied together my conclusions that I had arrived to about reincarnation and ecstasy as, like, our true nature. And the fact that it would take more than one lifetime to master and become unconditionally loving to get to a place of ecstatic consciousness. Like, it's just kind of a big, tall order.
Well, very cool. And for those of you listening now, you know, you don't have to read a couple hundred books. You just go straight to Autobiography of a Yogi.
It all ties it together. It's amazing. Best book on the planet, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's good to have you here. And you also brought in a singer with you, Ashley Sarna. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We've got to hear you both practice and do sound check, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the music. What are we going to hear first?
The first song that we're going to hear is called I Forgive You.
For what?
It could be for anything. Oftentimes people need to forgive themselves. Sometimes people need to forgive their parents or teachers or somebody who hurt them, either physically or emotionally abused them. And those experiences block our ability to open our hearts and feel the great amount of joy that we have a natural capacity for. So it's a real, really healing song. And usually in a room, there's very few dry eyes in the room. because it might be the first time that somebody's considering forgiving the person that hurt them the most, or even themselves, if that is relevant.
Wow. And can we forgive money for having caused somebody well, actually, the money didn't cause the problem. I figured it out.
Our relationship to money.
There you go. See? Wow. This is so cool. We're bringing it all together.
Together.
That's a great idea. I hope it lands.
All right. Well, here's Prem, and I forgive you.
Here we go.
Love you still.
Prem, and I forgive you here live at Studio Noho on the Life Changes Show. Thank you so much. Thank you, Prem.
Awesome.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks for having us.
That was beautiful. I tell you what, if somebody does something wrong and they won't admit to him, and they don't won't admit to it, send them this song. I bet they come crying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Wow. I was like, I'm so sorry, and I didn't even do it anymore. Like, yeah. That was beautiful. Okay, now that's a mantra I could listen to and repeat in my head. Thank you. What's next? Actually, I should say, is that available yet?
Yeah, you can listen to it on our website, which is premmorel.com.
And that's P-R-E-M-A-U-R-E-L.com. Right.
Yeah, there's a couple versions of that live, and the audio recording is available.
Actually, you got a camera going, so I have a feeling this version will be up too, right?
Yeah.
So what is next?
The next song is called As Big as the Sky.
As Big as the Sky? Is it self-explanatory, or can we...
Well, it's got a neat story behind it. Short story. It was my friend Adele Juliet's birthday. And I told her, I said, for your birthday, I'm going to write a song for you. And I'm going to write it as from your husband's perspective. I'm just going to put myself, I'm going to imagine what it might be like to be in his consciousness and express the love that he might want to express.
Wow. And so you're magnanimous.
This kind of came.
And the husband's like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Well, I asked him first. I was like, what kind of feelings and thoughts do you have about your wife? And he says, well, you know, like my heart feels like it's as big as the sky, and I just want to pour my love into it.
Wow.
So those are the words. He helped create the lyrics, and then I just wrote the song.
Do you know, this is like asking, like a gourmet chef asking, what do you want to eat for your birthday? Well, I like turkey, or what? Not turkey, because you do vegan vegetarian.
Good one. Tofurkey.
Close.
Tofurkey.
But
I forgive you. But,
you know what I mean? So you create the food that they want, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say pasta, but that's gluten. But anyway,
yeah,
well, gluten-free pasta. But you created the dish for it. So you created the song for him. So it's kind of, it's like, you know, a different way to serve.
Yeah. Yeah, loving
food for the soul. All right, never mind. Okay, so here's here is Prem with As Big as the Sky live here at Studio Noho on the Life Changer Show.
Make your heart
as big as the sky, as big as the sky. Make your heart as big as the sky, as big as the sky.
'Cause I will pour my love into you, into you.
Pour my love into you, into you.
Changes show. Thank you so much. That was As Big as the Sky, and that's also available at premmorel.com.
Yes.
premmorel.com. That's premmaurel.com. Thank you, Prem, and thank you, Ashley. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Is the YEO, is that, are those just sounds, or is that another language?
They're just sounds.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, language I'd like to think that it's a little bit reminiscent of the, you know, the original people that were here, the actual Native Americans, but I'm not really sure.
Pre-money.
I think they had trading systems, but sometimes not. Yeah, I like to honor the those people, and I have another song called Prayer, which I hope to share with you guys someday, which is all about that, but maybe for another time.
We would love that. It is so good to have you here. Thank you so much. Prem at premmorel.com. And again, thank you, Barbara Wilder. BarbaraWilder.com, actually.
Yes.
And that's our show for tonight. Wow, that went fast, and I feel great. So with that, I want to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making even me sound great today and making us all sound so great here in the studio. And a big thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Leger, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, your host, I want to remind you, as your life changes, as ours obviously did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.